Good morning. Let's all stand this morning. We're going to worship. I got a new song. If you know it, sing along. If not, let's bask in the presence of God, okay? And let's get to it. Let's worship God this morning. This morning. Welcome to FBCS. You may be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just ran and I looked at Andy and then I realized halfway here that I was going to run off the stage and then I panicked. So good morning. How are you? Whew. I don't know about you guys, but that felt like a full band even though it was an acoustic set. Anybody get some good dance moves in?
I did.
We all know. Sorry. All right. We're glad you're here. My name is Kelsey. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and we're super excited that you're here today as we continue through our Colossians series. Before we worship some more, we want to make sure you have a couple things just on your radar. First of all, you see this cool thing? It's called a bulletin. Inside, we have all sorts of announcements that we want to make sure you are aware of. If you do not read it, then you're going to miss things, and we don't want you to miss anything. So check that out. We also have calendars for the month. So if you need to know what's happening in May, you can stop by Welcome Central, grab one of those calendars, or 15, because we will lose 14 of them, and make sure you keep that with you. And then finally, in here, you'll see a communication card. We want you to fill out that communication card so that we can have some dialogue back and forth, so we can know how to pray for you. Our prayer ministry is over 100 people every single week praying over those prayer requests. So please, please, please stay connected with us. Cool? All right, I shouldn't have run up here. I blame Andy for some reason. All right, the next big thing, couple things I want to make sure you highlight and know. First of all, you see this really cute blue thing?
No.
No? Here.
I'm just,
Okay, this cute blue thing, make sure if you are a woman, you read this. We are having Bunko next Saturday afternoon, and we want you to join us, whether you know how to play Bunko or not. We have Katie, who is an expert at Bunko, coming to help head the event. So bring an appetizer to share and come play Bunko. It really is just an excuse for us ladies to get together and chat. So make sure you stop by Welcome Central and sign up for that. Cool? I can say cool a few more times, don't worry. And then the last thing that I want to make sure you are aware of, this Wednesday we are relaunching choir. Did you hear that? When did I say that? This Wednesday. This Wednesday, there we go, that's what I was waiting for. This Wednesday, join us at 6:30 in the choir room. If you don't know where that is, if you go around this side of the building, there's some side doors over here, and go straight down about halfway, you'll see the choir room. Come join us 6:30 on Wednesday. We are super stoked. Whether you know how to sing or not, come. If you don't know how to sing, we'll just, I don't know, we'll mute you or something. So come anyway. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a great way to worship God with our voices and with everything that we have. If there's anything else you need to know, make sure you check in here. Can I tell you guys a really cool story? This has nothing to do with anything, but this last week we sent out a prayer request for Costa Rica funds. Do you guys, if you guys are on the prayer request, you know, we were stressing out. We were about $10,000 short, which if you're leading a trip and you're $10,000 short, it makes you want to pee a little. That's going to be online later. Ooh. And within 24 hours, we raised over $10,000. So thank you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. To be a part of a congregation that one, believes in missions, and two, believes in our youth is an incredible blessing. So thank you guys. And now I think we should worship some more. How does that sound? All right, go ahead, stand right where you are and let's get some worship on.
So raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One. Is to come. Yeah, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. Who was and is to come. What?
So we raise up holy hands to praise.
So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come. Who was and is to come. Lord, we come into your presence. It's about you, God, not about us. We get so caught up, Lord, in the structure of how Sundays go, Lord, that we sometimes really forget, God, just to take a moment and breathe. To grasp the fullness of your grace and your praise and your glory. For Lord, as we worship you, God, we give you our hearts. We give you our all, Lord. And the further and further we seek you, God, the more and more you grow closer to us. And you come back full headstrong, God, with all the blessings that you pour out in our life. And I thank you, God, for that. And everything we do, God, all that we are, we bask in your presence, God, this morning. The more I seek you.
The more I seek you. Find you. The more I find you, the more I love you. Wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. Love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
See, the more I seek you,
the more I seek you.
Pursuing. His hand's right there, reaching out. It's just a matter of each and every day of every moment. We don't even have to be broken. We seek joy in Christ. I want to sit.
I want to sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hand, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heartbeat. It's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace. It's overwhelming.
Amen. Love.
there is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. He broke my shame and sinfulness. He rose again, victorious.
No place I would rather be. Here in your love,
Thank you, God, for your presence, for who you are, for this opportunity, God, that we've been given to bask in your presence, Lord, freely, completely surrendered to you, Lord. There's so much going on in our lives, God, each and every day. I know I personally, Lord, sometimes forget that you're there. But through your grace and through your love, Lord, we are reminded each and every day through the people we come in contact with, God, that your love is ever pursuing, your love is ever relentless, Lord. And I pray, God, as we go into a time of offering and greeting, God, that we seek that praise, God, that we seek the worship for you, that everything we do, God, is for your glory and your honor. And all God's people say, amen. You may be seated.
All right, we're going to move into a time of offering. Before we really get into that, if you're in third through fifth grade and you want to be a part of our third through fifth grade class, they are leaving right out that door over there. Parents, you can pick them up through that hallway at the end of service. Bye, third through fifth graders. Have fun. Bye. Oh, bye. Another. That was fun. Bye, guys. Now we're going to move into a time of offering, and I don't know about you, but this service feels very reflective for me so far. And as I was sitting and thinking about offering, the one thing that kept coming to my brain is when I grew up, they used to tell me at church that I should give joyfully. And I remember as I was growing up and started getting money that it wasn't as joyful as I thought it was going to be to give my money to God, to give him my first fruits. And it became this burden more than a blessing. And I've been realizing more and more as I've grown in my own personal faith that it's a joyful offering, not because we're excited to get rid of our money. I don't know anyone that is, but it's a joyful way of saying, God, I trust you with everything, and then watch him do miracles to provide for me and to provide for his church. And so right now, as we give, I want you to give a gift to God saying not just, hey, here's this money, but hey, God, here is my trust in you that you're going to take care of my financial state and you're going to do more with this money than I could ever do. And just take a few moments right now and just sit and be with God and reflect on what it truly means to put your trust and your pocketbook in his hands. Let's pray for the offering. God, we just praise you. This week especially, God, as we've watched money come from nowhere to pursue your ministry, it's been overwhelming to see that you are doing what you need to, that your word is getting out even when we sometimes aren't joyful givers. God, I thank you so much that you are advancing the kingdom, that you are in charge, because you are so much more worthy than we are. And God, right now, as we give back to you, take it as an offering. Take it as an act of worship. This is another sweet song for you. Because God, the more I find you, the more I love you. And this is our act of worship to you. God, bless the gift. Bless the giver. And allow us just to be in your presence right now. Amen. Now that we've had a chance to give to God what is God's first and foremost, let's love each other up. How does that sound? Right now, on your feet, stand up, go love someone. If you don't recognize someone, go hug them or handshake, because that could be awkward.
A couple housekeeping things to talk about real quickly. The first is this. Our college group has taken the next couple weeks off, and we are going to be meeting on June 5th at the Slagle's residence with a barbecue and swim. And so just you'll hear more information about that, but that's on June 5th. Looking forward to that. Second is this, in your worship folder, you'll see an announcement about life groups and that it's information meeting about life groups. That meeting has been changed as far as the location. It's going to happen in E101, which is the building right next to Winfield. So if you're interested in hearing about our life group ministry, there'll be plenty of pizza. There'll be plenty of just great information for you to divulge, I should say. And lastly, this past Wednesday morning, I received a phone call from Bethany Housemeyer saying that Charlie Weber, who sitting right here, received a phone call from her saying that Charlie was being rushed to the hospital because they believed that he had had a stroke. And Charlie, if you were to look at the word fitness in the dictionary, Charlie's picture's there. At least that it's his picture's in my dictionary of fitness. And my heart sunk. Because not only is Charlie a brother in Christ, but Charlie is a dear, dear friend of mine. And to many of you, he's a dear friend. One of the most intense people I've ever met, yet one of the most loving people I've ever met. And when I saw him, I wasn't able to do anything. And my heart went out to Kim, and Miriam was there. Miriam thinks I'm really cool. We prayed. Got on the prayer list. And I didn't know what was going to happen to my friend. And Charlie, to see you sitting here today, seeing the lights glisten off your bald head, I thank God that you're with us today. I am so grateful. That was pretty heavy. There are a lot of weird laws out there. Laws that are in existence right now that people don't even know that they're in existence. They're just bizarre. There's a law in Alabama that says that it's okay to drive the wrong way down a one-way street, providing that you have a lantern on the front of your car. So in Alabama, put on a lantern, go wherever you want. In Boise, Idaho, it is illegal to fish while you're on the back of a giraffe. In Denver, Colorado, it is illegal to loan out your vacuum cleaner to your next door neighbor. Bizarre. Just bizarre. Now, if they live two houses down, that's fine, I guess. Live across the street, that's okay. Next door neighbor, not gonna happen. In the state of Maine, it is illegal to have your Christmas decorations up beyond January 14th. I'm here, I'm with you there. We have a neighbor a few houses down that I wish he lived in Maine so he would take down his Christmas decorations that are still up to this very day. In Massachusetts, it is illegal to have a gorilla riding in the back seat of your car. In Pennsylvania, it is illegal to sleep on top of a refrigerator outside. There are all these bizarre laws out there that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense, and yet they're there. At one time, these laws existed. At one time, these laws made, they were incredibly important to be there. And we hear ourselves chuckle about some of these silly laws. Yet do we chuckle at some of the silly rules and regulations that we think need to be put in place instead of our relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we laugh about that? Because what seems to happen, and it was happening back in Colossae, and it's happening today, is that we have this view of Jesus Christ, we come to place our trust in Jesus Christ, and then all of a sudden we begin to add things to that relationship. And over the course of time, what ends up happening is, instead of Jesus Christ and his grace being what's rescued us and in whom we've placed our trust, all of a sudden it becomes Jesus Christ and this, and Jesus Christ and that. And we begin to slowly but surely put other things on top of Jesus Christ. It's a situation that happens subtly. It's a situation that happens all the time. I'm amazed when I talk to people about what they think it means to be a Christ follower and to hear some of their responses. They say, well, Jesus is important, but you also need to do this, this, and this. What was going on in Colossae 21 centuries ago is still happening today in 2016. It's still happening. And it is mind-boggling that we continue down these paths again and again and again. Father, we pray as we come into this time of your word, we pray that you would speak to each one of us. We pray that we would have our eyes opened by your Holy Spirit, that we would have our ears opened by your Holy Spirit so that we can hear, so that we can see, that you would open our minds so that we can understand more fully who you are and what you desire to do in our lives. And that your Holy Spirit would open our hearts so that we can then respond with everything we have. So, Lord, we need you. And we thank you for the way you work. We thank you for the answers to prayer. We thank you for the way you worked this week in raising up monies for the Costa Rica team. And we thank you that Charlie's with us. You are an amazing God. Actually, you are the amazing God who does amazing things. Holy Spirit, do your work. Do your work now. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So we pick this up in Colossians chapter 2, starting at verse 6. It says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ." Paul has heard what's going on with the church in Colossae. He's well aware of what's happening there, that these people who started off with Jesus Christ are now being perhaps tempted to begin to add rules and regulations to the relationship with Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying here, and look at the words that he chooses, look at the phrases that he chooses. He says, continue to live in him, be rooted in him, continue to be strengthened in your faith as you were taught. This relationship that we have with Jesus Christ doesn't just start and stop in one moment. It starts and we continue on in that relationship as we move forward in life. I've recently begun volunteering for an organization called First Tee. It's an organization that teaches children how to play golf. It's a blast. And the other day, we were at Papago and teaching these children. There was about 10 little guys, 10 boys, ranging in age from about 8 to 13. And trying to keep them corralled is a miraculous experience. And we were teaching them the importance of tempo, and we were teaching them their importance of making a good judgment as they're playing golf. And so we're teaching these concepts to them, and by the way, I'm not the greatest golfer, so good luck to these kids later on in life. But as we're teaching these kids, we then, at the end of it, we say, let's apply this to real life. Because we want these kids to be taught. We want them to realize that what happens on the course, there are some principles that apply outside the course as well. And so we're doing this, and the teacher's name's Jeff. He says, when do you think this upcoming week you'll need to make a good judgment? And it was quiet. And this kid named Gavin, he's about as cute as they come. This kid named Gavin, after about 5-6 seconds of silence, looks at Jeff and he says, I need good judgment on which girl I'm going to decide to ask out. Going, this kid's 11 years old. He says, I need good judgment. And then he pauses and he says, because I know they both like me. And I thought, bro, you have got some serious confidence. Keep that. He then said this, and I understand the way girls think. And I thought, my friend, you got a lot to learn. But Paul is saying this, you thought you had it figured out here, but now what you're doing is you're being tempted to follow after all these different philosophies that are putting Jesus Christ not on the back burner, they're putting Jesus Christ completely outside of the kitchen. You can't do that. The other day I was asked this question. I said, John, how has your theology and your view of Jesus Christ changed over the years? And I said to them, I said to this person, I said, I understand more today how sinful I am than I ever thought I was. I understand that within me resides these desires that are not of God. I'm realizing that more and more almost on a daily basis. How dark some of the things I think are and how hideous some of the things I do are. And then it said, just as I've understood more and more how dark and sinful I am, I've also understood this more and more, that Jesus Christ reaches into the depths of who I am and rescues me. And he doesn't stop caring for me. Because he's that big. He's that great. He's that magnificent. And what Paul is saying is, as you continue on in this walk with Christ, you're going to understand more how ugly things are in your life, but you're also going to understand how genius and how brilliant Jesus Christ is and how he reaches into those deep, dark places that are not very enjoyable at all. And what Paul is saying is, instead of looking to other things, instead of looking to rules and regulations and thinking that that's what you need to be about, what he's saying is this, is you need to lean on Jesus Christ and him alone. Jesus plus anything always equals nothing. Jesus plus nothing always equals everything. We want to add things to our walk with Christ. We want to add things and say that we can't do this, we can't do that, we shouldn't say this, we shouldn't say that. And yes, the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, but when we believe that it's Jesus plus something else that gets us salvation, that it's Jesus plus something else that gives us fulfillment, that it's Jesus plus something else that gives us purpose, we have nothing. Paul is saying, it's Jesus. Don't be deceived in thinking that you need to add something to that. And I would say this, we live in a world that says you need to add more to it. We live in a world that says that Jesus is not enough. And Paul says to the Colossians, just as he would say it to us today, it's Jesus. And then he continues on and he does this in verse 9, he says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Paul goes back and he says this, I've already talked to you guys about the deity of Jesus Christ. I need to remind you, as you continue to think that you need to become more and more enlightened with other things, I need to remind you there is no one greater than Jesus Christ, that the fullness of God resides within him. It isn't Jesus plus something else. It's Jesus, because he is all you need. And he bases all of this, all of his teaching, on that reality. Jesus is fully God. He is not a partial God. He's fully God. And because he's fully God, there is no one better, no one more worthy than Jesus Christ. And when we acknowledge that and when we allow that to settle in, we see that these rules and regulations that people are trying to add in, all of a sudden we can just say, that isn't going to work. It doesn't make any sense. And I love what he says here. He talks about circumcision. And for some strange reason, the Gentile adult males weren't really lining up after worship services saying, I'm looking forward to being circumcised today. They weren't. You can't blame them. If you're interested, never mind. My point is this. What was happening was, instead of it just being Jesus, and these are Gentile believers that have come to place their trust in Jesus, instead of it just being Jesus, there's now this little philosophy floating around saying, well, these guys need to be circumcised. They need to have that happen to them. And Paul's saying, no, no, no. Jesus Christ has fulfilled everything. He has circumcised you in your heart. He's taken that. He's taken care of it. You don't need to do that. Jesus Christ has fulfilled it all. And then he says this, and I love this. He says, having been buried, this is verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. There's a song out on the radio now it's on Air One, and it says, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. That same power that took a dead Jesus Christ and brought him out of the grave, that same power lives in us. And Paul is saying that faith that you've placed in Jesus Christ, that same power now resides within you. It's the power that gives you the power to forgive someone else. It's the power that gives you the courage to look at these things that you're afraid of and walk into them and say, Jesus has got me. It's the power that resides within you that moves you to care for somebody that you really don't care much about. It's that power that resides within you. It's that same power that rose Jesus from the grave, lives in those who've placed their trust in him. And it's that same power that will carry you right now. He doesn't hold off. And then we come to this powerful passage. And this is the thing, one of the things about Paul is he gets you pumped up, and then all of a sudden he just hits you in the gut. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Look at those words. When you were dead in your sins. Not your next door neighbor's sins, when you were dead in your sins, all of our sins. And then he says this, he points this out. He says, God made you alive. It wasn't you or me that made us alive. It is God who made us alive. We were off doing our own thing, destroying ourselves, and God said, enough's enough. I'm coming in. He forgave us all our sins. All our sins. Past, present, future. All forgiven by Jesus Christ. And then Paul uses this terminology and he says, our legal indebtedness. It's on us. We're the ones who are in debt. Right now, the United States debt is approaching $20 trillion. That's a 2 with 13 zeros behind it. It is astronomical. It is humongous. We don't have an idea of what $20 trillion looks like. An average U.S. family would need to break out their debit card and go to an ATM and make a withdrawal of $152,000 to pay it off. I'm going to let you into the Bosick's financial situation right now. Last time I checked, we don't have $152,000 in our accounts saying, please, write a check to the United States government and put in the memo line for our debt. And frankly, looking around, and I don't know all your situations, I would beg to say that none of us have $152,000 lying around that we can just say, yep, here you go, take it. People are outraged about it. People are frustrated about it. We have political candidates talking about what they're going to do about the debt and what they're not going to do about the debt. It's overwhelming. We see this and we get freaked out by it. $152,000. Yet there's a bigger debt. It's our sin. Our sin makes the $20 trillion deficit look like chump change. What Paul is talking about here is, do you realize how far away you were? Do you realize how in debt you were? You were so far in debt that Jesus Christ, God Himself, had to come to a cross and be put on that cross. And look what he says here. He says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them. Interesting thing. Every time that the Romans put somebody on the cross, it was for public humiliation. They were saying, in essence, you want to mess with us? We're the all-powerful ones. This is what happens to you. You come here, we will publicly humiliate you. People would spit on those who were being crucified. People would mock them. People would hit them. They would do all types of stuff to them. It was a complete humiliation. And yet God, in his genius, takes this public humiliation and says, you know what? I'm flipping it. Because I will be exalted. Just as you think this is humiliating, I'm here to tell you, I'm taking it, and it's paying the price for all sin. It was a genius move on his part. Of course, everything he does is genius. And it canceled the debt. In your worship folder today, when you opened it up, there were post-it notes in there. There was a post-it note in there. I invite you to pull that out right now. All sin has been canceled. All sin has been forgiven. What he did willingly. And he's the one who made the move. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that canceled the debt. Yet I don't know about you, but there are more than a few occasions when that same stuff keeps coming up. Every single thing that is nailed to a cross dies. No one survived crucifixion. And Paul says that it has been nailed to a cross, all our sin, but yet we carry it on. Yet we think that we have to do something with it. Yet we think that it's not taken care of. And right now there's stuff in your minds that you're remembering and you're forgetting that it's been taken care of, that it's all forgiven. And so Heidi's going to come up here in just a few moments and she's going to play some music. And what we want you to do during this time is on that post-it note, write down what it is that keeps coming to mind that you keep forgetting has been forgiven entirely. Write that down, and if you feel so led, come up here and put that post-it note on the cross as a visual reminder that it is finished. It is done. Now, the unfortunate thing is this, is that these post-it notes aren't sticky enough. Don't freak out and try to catch the post-it note if it falls off the cross. But we invite you to come forward, and then after a few minutes, I'll come back up. Father, we pray now as we contemplate what has been said to this point. We thank you that Jesus Christ took on all our sin and paid the price. So, Lord, these things that are on our mind right now, we ask that we would be mindful that it is finished and we don't have to carry this stuff any longer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the music will play. Please feel free to come up and put them on the cross. Paul continues on, and in verse 18, he picks it up and he says, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they have seen. They're puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They've lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." One of the things I love about Scripture is when we read this word, therefore. And the therefore, we then see it and we say, well, what is the therefore, therefore? And we have to go back and see what was just said. And what was just said by Paul was this, is that Jesus Christ has done it all. You don't have to deal with all these other rules and regulations anymore, special Sabbath days and new moons, festivals, and all these other things that the people in Colossae were trying to convince them were so important to add to their relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says this in verse 18. He says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you." Folks, false humility is not true humility. False humility continues to keep the focus on oneself. True humility is this, is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. That's what is happening here. Jesus Christ was the ultimate humble one, and he thought of himself less. He thought of God's glory more. He thought of himself less. He thought of what he could do to rescue you more, to rescue me more. That's what it's all about. It's getting our focus on him, and that's what Paul keeps driving at here again and again. And then he says this. He says that it grows as God causes it to grow. My question is this: are we growing? Are we moving forward? Are we understanding who Jesus Christ is and all that he's done for us and resting in that? And then he writes, "Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you belong to the world, do you submit to its rules?" Verse 23, "Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value restraining sensual indulgence." What Paul is saying is you can add all these rules and regulations, but the reality is this, is that you're still going to struggle. You're still going to have all this stuff, and if you're leaning on that to carry you through, there's only one that can take care of you, and it's Jesus Christ and him alone. We're going to sing a song now, and as we sing this song, I invite you to look at these words and allow those words to sink in. And I invite the band to come up here, and I'm going to pray. And as these words are sung, may you see the truth of what Christ has done for you and for me. Father, we pray as we respond to you now in song. We pray that we would be an incredibly grateful people, resting in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, thank you that Jesus took it to the cross, and was nailed to the cross. Thank you for paying the price. Hear us, Lord, as we sing out to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's all stand. Let's take our moment to reflect. What a great message. Laying everything down. The more we seek him, the more we find him. Draw me close. Lay it all down again. Amen.
to hear you say that I'm your friend. Amen. You are my desire. No one else. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. Oh, to feel the warmth of your.
You're all I've ever needed. Draw me back to you. This morning could very well be a time where you need someone to pray with you. As you contemplate, as you thought about what you've heard, what we've sung. And I want to invite you. We have three of our elders, Joy Levine, Sean Crozier, and Sharon LaRue, over here by the stained glass windows. And if you'd like somebody to pray with you this morning, hear me very clearly. This won't be a counseling session. They're going to pray for you. Make your way over there after the service is over, and they'll be more than happy to pray for you, because we know that God does great things, and we know that there's stuff going on in our lives that is difficult. And this Sunday is the last Sunday that we have the Becks with us. So I'm going to invite the Becks to come forward now, and we're going to pray for them. Andy and Heather and Hunter and Hallie have been a vibrant part of this ministry. Yeah, you come on up here. That'll be great. You could use the, never mind. That was not very nice. I'm just joking. But we're going to pray for the Becks as they continue on in this missionary experience that they have. We're going to pray for them now, and then we'll take off from there. So we love you guys so much. It's awesome having you with us. So let me pray for you guys. Father, we lift up the Becks to you, and we thank you for the ministry that we had the privilege of experiencing these past number of months. We thank you for how they stepped in to help us with lead worship. And we thank you for the gifts that you've given them, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to guide them and use them on this wild adventure that they're on. Bring to the forefront of their minds where you desire them to go and how you desire to use their hearts for you and the kingdom. Holy Spirit, do the work. We love you, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Love you guys. So, if you need to be prayed for, if you'd like somebody to pray for you, please head over there and do that. As we leave this place, remember this, that it's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. May you rest in that this week. If you're interested in getting information about the Life Group meeting, please go over to E101, and we'd love to have you there. God bless you. Enjoy this day, and remember, Jesus loves you. God bless.